Talking music, creating conversations, arrow.net, A-R-R-O-E.net. We are unplugged and totally uncut with Keegan Farrell from NBC's The Voice.
I'm doing good, Arrow. How are you?
Fantastic. So what are you doing up so early? You know, the old stories of rock stars and stuff like that is that you guys don't go to bed until now.
I used to be that kind of guy. I used to stay up till 6 a.m. and get up at 1. But I'm a morning guy. I'm an early bird, so I'm up at 5:30 most days.
Oh my God! There's a special kind of energy that early in the morning, even though the sun isn't even up yet.
Absolutely, the best time of day. I love it.
So, are you writing music that early in the morning? I mean, when does your creative engine kick in?
Yeah, I usually go to a coffee shop and I do a little Bible study, start my day, and I drink coffee and have a donut every day, and then I read something afterwards for a couple, hour or two, just getting the mind going with a good book.
Holy cow, dude! That's awesome, because what happens is that you read something in one of those verses and you look up and it's right there in front of you. You're going, "Dang, this book is on it."
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are you drinking for coffee? You put milk and all that kind of stuff into it, or you're like me, you're just totally black?
I like coffee black, but I usually go to Dunkin' Donuts and I get just coffee with cream.
Oh, and you're munching down on donuts too, so you're really getting a sugar rush?
I have a donut every day. It's probably not doctor recommended, but it gets me in a good mood, and it helps me to look forward to that early morning time. So I get a Boston cream donut every single day.
So now you have grown in so many different ways, because you were in Fort Wayne and then you went to Nashville, and now you're hanging out with everybody out there in LA. The three different places, is it regionally much different?
Oh yeah, it's way different. I think it's crazy because we're all in the same country, obviously, but it's almost like three different cultures when you go from Indiana and then down south, and LA, obviously a whole different world. So yeah.
And you realize that people that aren't from the South don't understand that there's something in our soil down here that makes music just thicker and richer. What are you feeling from your side of it?
I agree. I think there's just kind of like a, I don't know, especially in Nashville, there's just this spirit of creativity and collaboration that's really hard to find anywhere else, because people in Nashville, first of all, it's got the Southern hospitality, and I think that spirit kind of carries over to the music scene, where people just want to see each other grow. It doesn't feel cutthroat, even though it is a cutthroat music scene. It doesn't really feel like that. People want to share each other's music. People want to hype each other up. People want to sing each other's songs, and people love seeing each other get further in their careers. So I think that just overall facilitates more growth for everybody. It makes the music scene a whole lot stronger. It makes better music in general. So that's what I love about Nashville, and that's why I want to be here for a long time.
Well, in Nashville, my God, I mean, you get down there by that Country Music Hall of Fame and stuff like that and just walk around the streets a little bit, it's amazing, the energy. I mean, there's so much history, and yet at the same time, there's new music being born every day.
Absolutely. That's a great environment to be around. I love it.
So did you join a songwriting team? Because it seems like anybody who lives in Nashville belongs to a team.
I don't belong to a team or anything, an official team. I got some buddies and friends of mine that I write with pretty frequently. But, So I've got groups that I tend to get together with on a regular basis and write songs with.
So when you're doing your studies and stuff like that in the morning, and you look at your career even at 21, I mean, you're at Belmont University, you're learning about music, but you're also doing the business side of it and the production side of it. I mean, are you Jay-Z? Are you gonna like open up your own firm?
I honestly don't know. I think that the business is really important. I want to perform more than anything. I want to sell records. I want to be an artist. So the main motivation for going to Belmont studying music business is because I think it kind of gives me a leg up against other artists. I think a lot of artists are really great at creating, but they don't know a whole lot about the industry, because artists tend to be a little more head in the clouds, and they sometimes have a tough time with the more black and white organizational stuff. And so I just wanted to learn that because I realized it's really important, and it'll help me in ways that there's a lot of things you need to know now as an artist in the 21st century that I just wanted to learn at Belmont, because there's so many great professors who are in the industry and they teach from experience. And so that was my main motivation. But I don't necessarily want to be a label person or record label or publishing house type person. I want to be somebody out on the road touring.
Are you going to take classes as well in the way of social media, where you can do your podcasting and media and stuff like that? Because, I mean, you talk about the business side of it. You've got to have your own reach these days.
Yeah, we do talk about that in the music business class. We talk about social media promotion and all that good stuff. And also, I think I've just learned a lot about it from just doing it. It's kind of trial and error because social media, the algorithms are always changing. So you kind of got to figure out what works and what doesn't content-wise. And that's something that I've been doing for the past couple of years, is really focusing on putting out content. And that's actually how The Voice found me. So that was definitely a win in that regard.
So speaking of focus and stuff like that, how do you change your focus so quickly when you're stolen by Nick? I mean, to go from Blake to Nick, I mean, that's a game changer there.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely unexpected. I was really disappointed when I lost, but then when Nick stole me, I was so, so thankful that he believed in me enough to keep me in this competition and in this show. So it's one of the things where you got to learn to roll with the punches, and definitely a switch up, but all the judges, all the coaches are incredible mentors. They have a lot of wisdom about the industry and about music in general. So it doesn't matter if I got stolen by any of them. I'm so thankful to work with any of them, and Nick has a breadth of wisdom and knowledge to impart, and I'm super glad to be on Team Nick.
So is there a question that you would like to ask Nick Jonas? I mean, come on, it's Nick Jonas, and you get to be right there. We get to see him through a flat screen.
I think one of the things that's always impressed me about Nick is he's been a star since he was probably like 16, and he always seems like he kept a level head. You don't hear about Nick Jonas on tabloids. You don't hear about him getting into trouble. It seems like he's been pretty steady his entire career, and I think that a lot of people don't give credit for that, but it's definitely a lot tougher, I'm sure, than it seems. So I would just ask him, more importantly than anything, how he's kind of kept his focus, how he's been able to remain the same person, and how he's been able to just not really succumb to the distractions and all the different things that have been so available to him since he was a teenager.
Do you think that's because his dad would probably still turn him over his knee and spank his butt if he did something wrong?
It's very possible. I'm sure he's definitely raised in a good way. He's definitely got a solid upbringing. I think that's definitely helped.
You know, one of the things that's pretty fascinating about you, Keegan, is the fact that, man, you had to break that fear factor. So many creative minds sit in their bedrooms playing the guitar, and they don't let the rest of the world see them. You broke the fear factor. How did you get past that?
Yeah, it's cool you asked that, because there was a kind of a turning point for me. I was doing more playing out, and I was playing out sometimes, but a lot of times, you know, I was just practicing and recording songs, but nobody was really hearing them. And my roommate told me, he's like, dude, I told him I need to grow my social media presence. He said, well, you need to start posting stuff. You need to start posting content. I was like, you know, you're right. I'm working really hard at music, but I'm the only one hearing it. So I started focusing really heavily on putting myself out there so people could actually hear what I was working on. And like I said, that's what led to me being on The Voice. And I'm still learning how to perform. I'm still learning how to open up and be really comfortable on a stage like that. But it's all a process, and I'm learning a lot and improving a lot, and that's all I can ask for. And I really believe in progression over perfection, so it's been really awesome.
You talk about performing. That's the reason why I quit high school chorus, because we did barbershop, and there was just no way in hell I was going to do what they do in a barbershop quartet.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. I've never done that, but I've seen it, and it's an interesting type of music for sure.
So they say that music comes from the darkest paths. I mean, 6 months old, man, you were adopted. Do you feel like that in that first 6 months that your heart was saying, I need to find some happiness, so you started humming to yourself as a child?
No, not really. I think I've never really known. You know, I was so young that I don't have any memories of life before being in America and being with the family that I have. So I think for me, I've always been blessed with not a lot of issues in my upbringing. My family's incredible. I was obviously blessed in a huge way to be adopted and come here. And so I've always been someone who created, because I felt like I've been given a gift and been blessed with an opportunity. And it's my responsibility to actually steward that in a way that is, you know, just using it in a way that encourages people and not just sitting on a talent and letting it go to waste. So that's been my motivation, is just wanting to use the opportunity I've been given for good.
How are you handling those students on the piano in the way that we're coming out of this COVID generation and their mindset is not focused? Are you having a difficult time as the teacher?
It can be hard. At the end of the day, it comes down to practice. If people aren't practicing, then my hands are kind of tied. I can give the best piano lesson ever, but if somebody doesn't practice what I taught them, then we're back. We really accomplished nothing. So I think there's really no excuse when it comes to COVID, when it comes to practicing. We have if anything, more time to practice. So that's kind of my view on that.
I want you as my leader, man. What's your website so people can find you and give you some love, dude?
Yeah, my website's Keegan Ferrell Music, KeeganFerrell Music, and KeeganFerrellMusic.com. And it's also got links to every single social media platform. And basically, I've kept it consistent. Keegan Ferrell Music is my handle on all social media.
All right, Keegan, I expect to talk to you many more times in the future, mister.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, you be brilliant today, okay, sir?
All right, you too. Thank you, Arrow.